Y'all listen up for a little later in the show. We'll be giving out one of those Santa bag gifts. We'll be giving one out every single Saturday between now and Christmas. We'd like to thank Benjamin Franklin Plumbing for sponsoring that in part with their Kohler Moxie Showerhead. That's the showerhead that sings to you through your Bluetooth apparatus. I tell you what, I gave it to my 16-year-old daughter 2 years ago, and she still uses it every single day. It's a great little feature. So thank you to Benjamin Franklin Plumbing for helping sponsor the Santa Bag, as well as Pella Windows and Doors. There is a Pella clad full-size patio sliding door in the Santa Bag that somebody will win.
That's one big bag.
That's one big bag. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be giving it away. We'll be giving something away today a little bit later in the show.
How does he get that door down the chimney? That's amazing.
Same way he flies around the world in the night. He's got the
magic
gift.
Yeah.
All right. We're here at Rosie on the House. We're always trying to keep up with everything that is going on. This morning, if you missed it, or you're not on one of our radio affiliates that carries the 7 o'clock hour and you weren't streaming, we had a first ever Skyped-in conversation from Tbilisi, Georgia.
We didn't ask management about that, and they're probably just beginning to wake up.
They're probably like, hey, you know what? That just shows how good these guys are. If they don't need us to pull that off, these guys are good. Well, they've also set us up with a text in. So if you're not driving, but if you're out on the road or you're over at family's or you can't, you're not in a place where you can sit on hold for a while.
Out there shopping.
You can text your question in to 411-923.
Right now.
Right now, 411-923, you can text in your question, and we can get it on the air, provided there is time for it.
And hopefully they're shopping someplace small.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Small Business Saturday.
And you got the name, the meaning behind Black Friday?
Yes, I do. So Mike was on the right track. It's the common thought is that it's the first day of the year that you're in the black. From now to the end of the year, you're actually making money. But the term was first used back in the early 1951, and it was considered to be a disease equal to the bubonic plague because none of the employees would show up to work after Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's
and all these companies had all this stuff to get done, and nobody would come in. And it says the shop may be half empty, but every absentee was sick and can prove it. So that's where it originally came from.
Funny. Okay. Well, very good. I have saved some ads at the office. I need to get our papers from this weekend and compare it. A couple years ago, I heard that about August, retailers will start lowering prices so that when Black Friday comes, they can say, hey, we've got $100 off, but it's the same price they were selling it for back in August. So I've got the ads for what things were going for in August. At the office.
You're going to test that theory?
I finally remembered to save the ads to test it this year. So we'll know. I'll have a report next week, if assuming those same companies are putting pricing in the coupons. Well, we were talking about water savings earlier. Y'all are in a little contest right now?
Well, John,
or a little challenge.
You know, I've been so focused on super cooling through the summer and getting my bill as low as I could. I actually took a bit of heat for that yesterday. A water heater wouldn't come on. But that's another story.
A cold story.
We were talking about our water bill, and I was overwhelmed this past summer just pulling my water bill out and really looking at it for the first time because, it's kind of an inconsequential expense. It's something you got to have, and it's not like, I mean, our water bill's gone down a little as we went from 8 people in the house down to 3 people in the house, but not much. But it occurred to me that when we did the water show on the Colorado River, that if we could all save 10% together,
right,
that would add up for supplying a city of 50,000 people for the whole year.
And you could do it if everybody would adjust their irrigation schedules this time of year. You could do it just by doing that.
You'd pick up your 10% right there.
Right all winter. Because I don't know how many calls this last week how much should I be watering right now? How much should I be? And I tell them, you know, minimum of half of what, if your landscape was looking okay through the summer, it needs probably between a fourth and a half as much water right now. So if you're watering the same as you were this summer, which most people are,
yeah,
most people have not switched, then you're wasting a lot of water because it doesn't need it. If you haven't, we've had enough rain sprinkled out through the fall.
Well, I will confess, John Jay, that is one thing I'm becoming much more diligent about. When it rains, I turn the system off and I leave it off for a day or two. There's a couple
of
days.
At least
it
a couple
run.
Of days. Yeah. Yeah. And especially this time of year. In the summertime, you know, it might buy you a day or two. Now, right. You know, if it rains and it gets wet, it could stay wet for a week. So, you know, you can buy yourself a lot of time. And if, seriously, if everybody would adjust their irrigation timers through the winter, it's really hard to water less in the summer. Yeah, you can water longer and slower and deeper and less often, but, you know, it's really hard to save much water when it's 100 and some degrees. But we can save a bunch
right now
from November to about April, big time.
And I don't know. I don't want to beat up the manufacturers, but I think clock manufacturers could make it a lot simpler to do that, don't you?
Yeah, and they have. I mean, a lot simpler than the old antique I'm still using.
Yeah,
where they have the seasonal adjustments, 40%, 50%. I mean, you literally could go in there and go, well, whatever it was in July, go to 50%.
Now,
if you didn't do anything else, at least do that.
Does that automatically program the frequency, or does it just take the days and the times it's set to start and run and cut the runtime in half?
That's a good question, and I think it does vary depending on the manufacturer.
Okay, how sophisticated.
Because
you like the same
duration. Correct.
But you like them spread out farther.
Adjust your frequency. If you're going to go in by hand, do it manually. If you're watering for 2 hours on your drip system, don't cut that. Cut it from two or three times a week to once a week.
And certainly if you have a yard maintenance contractor, they ought to be able to do that for you.
And there's another way to do that really easy on a lot of these new clocks too, as opposed to the seasonal adjustments. Go to the skip days feature. A lot of these controllers have a skip days feature, so you can skip 1 day between waterings, 2 days between, three, four, and so on. Just keep skipping more days as the weather cools off, and then, you know, just go the other way when it starts warming up.
10%. We all need to save 10% this year. That's
not hard to do.
That's our Rosie on the House listenership pledge. We're going to all save 10%.
I won't get y'all convoluted in the details of that, because if somebody's still adding more to their landscape, so you're adding more landscape, but you still got to cut 10% of your old use. We won't get into the technicality of that. 10% of what you're using today. You still have the authority to go plant and add more trees.
Yeah, my theory on that is that you can do all of that you want if you'll adjust the other stuff. New plants, especially this time of year, don't take that much water. Another great reason to plant in the fall and winter is that it just doesn't take that much water, just like the caller with the winter lawn. It stays a lot wetter. Same with new plants. It doesn't take every day, a couple times a day, to keep them hydrated right now.
Well, we had given out a text number at the beginning of this segment, and we've got our first texts ever. And I must say, I need to ask everyone a favor. Put your city, so we at least know your elevation. Our first one, Doug writes in and says, I have horses, so I understand I can't use oleanders for a privacy screen. Is there another bush or a non-toxic bush of oleanders I can use with horses? It's a 520 number, so he could be at an elevation as low as Casa Grande or as high as Cochise. So give us a city or a zip code when you text in, because that, especially in the plant hour, the outdoor living hour as it relates to plant. Elevation's going to play key.
Well, let's
to
just
that.
Assume since he's asking about oleanders, he's somewhere. You know, if, now, I will say this, and I'll go on record. There is a lot of horse properties with oleanders around them.
Yes, there are.
And
ours included, but you have to be pretty diligent about raking them up.
Where you, well, or how you feed, okay?
That's
if
true.
You feed on the ground, if you throw hay flakes out on the ground, you can end up with issues. And that's generally where people have the issues. If you feed in a feeder, in a stall, you'll never have a problem. They will not eat. They will not go up to the oleanders
and
munch on them. They just won't. They're smarter. As dumb as horses are, they're smart enough to not do that.
Especially if they're not hungry.
So that being said, there are some other solutions. Sour orange is a great alternative to oleanders. Common myrtle, another good alternative. Hop seed, the green hop seed would be a good alternative. Orange bells and yellow bells would also be good alternatives.
We appreciate you tuning in and texting in. Our next texter wants to know.
And how do they text in?
411-923.
Now, see, my generation won't know how to do that. So you get your cell phone and you do what?
Go to your text messaging. And where you would generally start typing in, let's say you were going to text Jay Harper, you would start typing in Jay.
Yeah.
Well, instead of a name, go to your numbers and just type in 411-923.
Okay.
Now go down to your part where you text your message normally.
Yes.
Text your message there and click send.
Okay, I'm going to text you a question.
All right.
What a great day for a trial run, too. You know, with everybody out shopping, you can still get your questions answered.
That's right.
Well, and I've got six more stacked up
here.
Yeah. So let's keep
well,
cruising.
We've hit on something here. People don't want to talk anymore. They just want to text.
Well, if you are out and about, and who likes to stay on hold when you can text someone? Maybe, let's just get to our next one. We were talking pines earlier. And include your name so we can address you. This is another 520 number, and they say they're at about 5,000 feet, so probably around that Cochise, Benson, somewhere down there along the border. They want to know how far apart should pines be planted for a proper windscreen in southeast Arizona.
Well, it would depend on the pine that you're using, but let's just say we're using an Alderic or a Goldwater pine. You know, probably if you want to screen a wind break out of them, you want them to touch then. You want it to be a solid hedge. You don't want a lot of space in between them. So I would probably go somewhere between 12 and 15 feet apart if that was the case.
Now, from my observation, it seems like when branches stop touching, a tree stops maturing or growing. It really slows its growth. You never see a massive pine tree next to a really another massive pine tree. When they're in a row, they never seem to fully mature. Is that improper observation, or do they kind of seem to know to slow down in growth when they...
Well, I would say it's more about competition than they know how to do anything. So if you've got a tree all off on its own and it has no other tree close enough to it to compete with nutrients and moisture and those types of things, it's going to be able to grow in at a better rate and achieve its normal size. You also don't have the crowding, so the branches. Now, what can happen sometimes if you plant things closer together or too close together, they'll get taller because they'll stretch, for light
in
some instances.
And that was where I was going for that question. She was mentioning wind. If somebody was trying to do privacy and going for height, should they space it out? But sounds like the reverse is true. Put them closer.
Well, you want them close enough to have, to be able to block the wind. So if you plant them too far apart, you could not do that. So there's a happy medium there, as opposed to wanting this tree to have its own natural shape and be a focus of a landscape and plant it 25 to 30 feet away from something. You're going to go closer to 12 to 15 feet, so they kind of form a hedge, so to speak, or a windrow. A hedgerow type of an effect.